Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. Today, we're going to be talking about some hashtag everyday Muslim struggles. We've put together our top 7 Muslim struggles that you all have probably faced at one point or another.
This is going to be super lighthearted and fun, and as you guys are listening, let us know if you are on the same struggle bus too. So let's go ahead and jump right into number one. So number one for me is walking into a store and talking about how to make all the clothes halal. And this is something that happens all the time, especially if you're a girl who wears hijab and you're shopping for like a formal event or like a gala or a wedding or something that needs like some sort of long dress that's fancy. Every time I walk into the store when this happens, I'll be like, okay, everyone, hear me out. If this dress right here had 7 more inches, the waist was 2 inches wider, the sleeves were 5 inches longer, it would be perfect. And I say that about like everything and I don't actually end up buying anything.
Yeah, guys, this is not true. Rawan buys all the things. Like, she buys most things that are not suited for hijab and she ends up not like wearing them. They just sit there in her closet. Tell me that's not
right. Okay, this is so, I feel personally attacked right now. I don't.
Okay, Rawan, so do you do that?
Okay, yeah, I actually do. I admit this. We had a little argument about this. But I actually do this. I have this one dress that's like short sleeve and I told myself that I was gonna like find a jacket to go over it or wear something under it. And I hate like layering and stuff like that with clothes just to like make them long sleeve or whatever. Like I just like to buy them long sleeve. So I have never worn that dress. So if anyone is interested in a pink and white short sleeve dress, please hit me up.
Guys, our other one is like on a similar note, but it's like wearing the same thing in different ways. So I was at the mall and I was wearing this like shirt. It was like a long shirt. And then I saw this girl, like she was wearing it as a dress. So we were both wearing the same thing, but in different ways. And I just like looked at her and I was like, this is so awkward. Like, why is she wearing my shirt? Like, I just felt like it looked so much better as a shirt, but it was so disappointing.
Yeah. And so many times, especially if you're shopping with your friends who are non-Muslim or something, or who might be like not, who don't wear hijab, for example, like they'll wear, pick something up and be like, oh, this would be such a cute dress. And you're like, you mean shirt, ma'am, excuse you. So sometimes it's just like so awkward how people like take one thing, or like when you're a hijabi, I feel like you just have like a different, like it's like putting on a different pair of glasses every time you walk into a store. Like you just view stores in a completely different lens. You like know which sections to go to, you know, like, okay, you don't actually shop in the shirt section, you shop in the dress section to find your shirt. So it's
honestly
a big struggle.
I hate shopping. Like every time I go, I just sit on the couches and then we're done.
Yeah, it's also disappointing to go shopping like in the summer. Yeah, like walking into Forever 21 or a store like that in the summer. It's like the clothes are just, they took normal shirts and cut them into 1/4 of the size. And it's just like absolutely impossible to make things hijab friendly.
And like you see it from far away and you're like, oh my God, this is such a cute dress. Like finally. And then you go and there's like a huge slit.
Yes.
In it.
Oh my God. I hate when they do that. Every single dress these days has a slit up the side or some random hole or something somewhere where it shouldn't be. And people need to stop. So I feel like even with all of the hijabi like clothing brands and things that are out these days, like it's still not practical to find clothes as a hijabi because a lot of the brands are like super expensive. Like if you want to find like a long sleeve, long modest dress, they're always like hundreds of dollars and super expensive.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have time to order something online. Like if you have something that weekend.
Like Eid is such a struggle. I hate shopping for it.
Yeah. And then because everyone shops on the same Muslim websites and they all produce the same dresses, on Eid everyone ends up wearing the same thing. And I guess this is like something that women don't like is when you wear the same exact thing as someone else. I don't know. That doesn't really bother me that much, but I feel like that causes problems between people.
Doesn't bother you? It bothers me. I don't like to wear the same thing as other people, especially on Eid.
I don't know why. I think it's also like, you know, when people say you can't wear white to a wedding or something because you're like taking the bride's thunder. So I get that. I feel like it's like the same line of thinking as like you're stealing someone's thunder, but whatever.
Guys, that actually happened to me. I wore the same thing on Eid as this other girl. And I mean, it was fine, but like, I just don't like to wear the same thing as other people. Like, it just makes me feel not good.
I feel like it's kind of low-key awkward.
Yeah, it is.
Because people are like seeing the same thing on someone else. So kind of like low-key just like comparing how it looks on different people.
I was not happy, but it's okay. Whatever.
Yeah. And then, but also I think the one thing that's really good about being a hijabi is that when you want to pray in public, it's already like easy for you because you're already dressed for it, mm-hmm. which leads into our next one, which is struggles of praying in public and people staring at you. So at my college, like we have a really big library as do most colleges. And it's really hard though to find like a private spot to pray. So sometimes I try and pray like in between like the elevators and like this random like maintenance room. And every time I pray there, someone leaves from the elevator and like fully turns their head to stare at me. And it's the most awkward thing ever. And you just got to keep trekking, man. Like you just got to pretend you don't see them.
I don't have an awkward prayer story, but I have an awkward wudu story. Like I was in the bathroom making wudu and I'm about to like, I'm not like putting my foot in the sink, okay? But like I'm about to like wipe my foot and then someone walks in. So I like abruptly put my foot down and it was just so awkward. And then I just acted like I was washing my hands, but my face was red and everything. Like it was terrible.
Yeah. And sometimes too, if you're somewhere with your non-Muslim friends and you need to pray or something, like even if you've told them what you're about to do, sometimes they forget and they'll try and talk to you while you're praying or something weird. And you're like, I can't answer you. And it's just so weird. Like
sometimes when me and my friends go out and like if we're at the mall or something, we just go and pray in a fitting room. So we have like 10 items that we take in. We're all in the same fitting room trying on things, but we're actually praying. And it's just so awkward because like you walk out and you don't buy anything because you didn't try anything on. It's just like, oh, what were they doing in there, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes if you just need to pray and you're not actually buying anything from that section, like you'll grab something that's totally obviously not for you. Like you'll pick up like a men's shirt or like a size 4X dress and you're like, oh, I'm going to try this on. And you're like in the fitting room. And then also fitting rooms that have doors that don't go all the way down. Like when you go down to make sujood, like the people that are walking in can totally 100% see you and it's just like, don't mind me.
Just doing my thing. Guys, honestly, being Muslim comes with so many awkward things that are not even that serious, but I feel like they're so important to solve. Like going out to eat and like you're reading the menu, but you know, pork has like 30,000 names. So you don't know if you're ordering pork or not, and you don't want to sound stupid sometimes. So basically when I'm reading a menu, if it doesn't say pork, bacon, then I'm good. You know, I just order the thing. But then I did that the other day. And the pizza had pork on it. And I'm like looking back at the menu and there was this word that I didn't know, but I didn't want to ask the lady. So I just assumed it was cheese. And then I had to like go through the process of telling her. And then I just felt bad. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's so awkward. This one time I was in San Francisco and we went to an authentic Italian restaurant and the entire menu was in Italian with no English translation. And so it was like a pizza, like they had like a lot of pizza. So I'm trying to order a pizza and I see the word quattro and then some other word after. If you're Italian, let us know what the word is. But I was reading it and anytime you see quattro, which means four, and the word pizza, your immediate thought is four cheese. So I was like, okay, this is a safe bet. So I ordered the pizza and then the restaurant was like authentic and it was taking a really long time for them to make all the pizzas because they had this special way of doing it. So finally, our pizzas come and I get my pizza and it had four types of meat on it, all of which were pig products. So it was like sausage and salami and all these things. And I stared at it and I told the guy, I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, but like, I can't eat this. Like, I'll pay for it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Like, I'll just give it to someone else. And the guy was nice in the end, but he like got an attitude in the moment and he was like all huffy and puffy, like rolled his eyes. And then in the end, he went back and made me a different pizza. But next time you go to a restaurant with a menu in an entirely different language, just double check and make sure, don't make assumptions, because you're going to make some restaurant workers extremely mad that you didn't know how to read their menu in Italian.
Or in English, but you just know two types of pork.
Yeah, we need to stop making up weird names for things that contain pork because it's really throwing me off. And also, I love like going out to like breakfast and lunch and brunch, but so many of breakfast, lunch, and brunch menus just have like pork in almost everything. And it's so annoying because you feel like you can't order anything off the menu. Okay, so in addition to struggling with clothes and food, we also, as Muslims, especially those of us who have like names from our parents' culture, like Arabic names or Desi names or whatever, we've all had some struggle with teachers or anyone just trying to pronounce our name.
Yeah. So we have a friend, her name is Bayan. And
hi, Bayan.
The whole year, her teacher called her Bajan, like B-A-J-A-N. the whole year.
And that's like how we make fun of her. And I will always be like, but Jen, come here. And so, yeah. And her name's not even that hard. Yeah. I feel like some people have hard names. I feel like your name is a bit harder.
Oh, my name. Oh my God. Like, I've had so many different things with my name. It's like Rund, Rand. My name is Rand. Okay. Like, no one can get it right. So every time I like introduce myself, I'm like, my name is Rand, just, you know, to see if they'll ever say it right. And then I say, my name is Rund. And then I'm like, okay, my name is R-U-N-D. And then at that point, they can just say it however they want. Like, it doesn't even matter, you know?
Yeah. And my sister, her name is Shahd. And that's like a kind of common Arabic name, mm-hmm. but it's spelled S-H-A-H-D. And I think the H-D at the end really throws people off because it's like two consonants like in a row. And so they're like, oh, how do I say that? And so out of like my whole family, she's the one that struggles the most with her name. She hates her name so much. And she has this one teacher who like couldn't pronounce her name all year. And so the first day she was like, what's your name? And she was like, Shahd. And she was like, what? Sorry. And she was like, Shahd, which is usually how she says it. And the teacher was like, oh, Chut. And so for the rest of the year, the teacher called her Chut. And like, Shahd never corrected her. She just let it go.
Yeah. I stopped correcting teachers too. And when I was in fourth grade, I used to go to an Islamic school, but still, like, the teacher would argue with me. She was like, I'm not calling you Rand because your name is spelled R-U-N-D. If you wanted it to be Rand, it would be R-A-N-D. So, like, I just had to go with however she wants. She said ruined.
That's so...
All, like, I think I was there 1 year. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can argue with someone about how their own name is pronounced. Like, I think they know how their own name should be pronounced. So if any of you have a name that's harder than Rand or harder than Shahd or is messed up more frequently, please let us know and let us know what people call you because we would love to hear about your name struggles too.
And you guys know what? Like me and my friends, we or like a lot of us that wear hijab, we go to the same high school. So not only do they mess up our names and don't pronounce them right, they also like call us different things. Like they'll call me Shahd or Bayan. Like Bayan is 5 feet taller than me and they still call me Bayan. Or they're like, oh, how was your basketball game? And I'm like, wasn't me, bro. Wasn't me.
Yeah. And I feel like us and all of our friend groups and all hijabis also have like those hijabi struggles. And I have so many about this. But first of all, wearing hijab is so hard to put in headphones, especially depending on what material hijab you wear and how tightly you wrap your hijab. Like some girls wear their hijab really loose, so it's easy for them to just like put their headphones in and like move on with their day. But mine like has a pin like right at the bottom, kind of like near my jawline chin. So it's super hard for me to put headphones in because it's like wrapped pretty like tightly around my head. And every day it's such a struggle. And over the summer, I went on like a lot of these like museum tours with like this group from my school. And the way they do it in like really big museums is they'll give you like a headset and headphones and then the guide will speak into like a microphone so that only you and your group can hear it and that the museum isn't just full of like a guide screaming out to everyone. And every single time we would walk into a museum, I would have to stand like in the back for 10 minutes trying to shove these little headphones into under my hijab. And it's such a struggle. And I feel like I can't buy AirPods either because I have no way of putting them under my hijab comfortably.
I don't have that struggle because I wrap my hijab very loosely. So I just put them in. And I feel like headphones for hijabis are kind of like a plus because you can just put it through your shirt and then put it in your ears and no one knows you're listening to music. So you can just listen to music in class, which you shouldn't be doing. But like...
If you're bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another struggle too is I feel like wearing sunglasses or glasses in general. Oh. Like I have like regular glasses, like vision glasses. And when I got them fitted, I had my hijab on obviously like at the store. And so I put them on and my hijab again is like a bit tighter. So it was like holding them in place. And the lady was like, oh, are these like fitted well? Like, do they fit right? And I was like, yeah, these are great. And then I go home and when I take off my hijab and put my glasses on, like they're so loose because mm-hmm. And then I realize I only got them fitted for when I have a hijab on and I have no way of going back and being like, oh, like fit this without my hijab on. So that's awkward.
Also putting sunglasses on is weird because you either put it inside your hijab and it looks like fine, you know, or then some people put it outside of their hijab and I'm like where are they going to rest? You know, because you're like, they're supposed to rest on your ears.
Yeah.
So they're just like, I don't know, they're just free, like sitting on top of your hijab. And it just kind of looks weird.
Yeah. And I'm a big sunglasses girl. I love my sunglasses. And every time I put them on my head, like if I go inside or something, I feel like if your hair is there, there's like more friction and like more things holding your glasses in place. But if you have your hijab on, like your glasses just fly off. So Literally, the story of my entire life is walking in somewhere with sunglasses on my head and then like bending down to pick something up, or even just like, yeah, like turning quickly and they just like fly off.
And then there's like another struggle with like when you're in the airport or whatever and you get checked, you know how they're like, oh, let me check your hijab or whatever. And then they like ruin it for you.
Yeah, that's so annoying. I'm like, please respect the fact that you're messing up my hijab and I have to go.
It took me a whole 5 minutes to put it on.
Yeah. And it's just like super awkward too, because they're like awkwardly like caressing your head and they're like, hi. Also, another hijabi struggle is that everyone thinks that
you're married.
Like, yeah, you're like foreign. And so you're like married really young and all these things. And this one time, my brother and I were shopping at Ross, and my brother is like, he's only like 3 years older than me and he doesn't look that old either. And so we're shopping at Ross and we're in the checkout line and the lady's scanning our stuff. And then she starts scanning like these weird spices. And I was like, oh, what, did you buy those? And he was like, no, did you? And I was like, no. And then he tells the lady, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think those are ours. And she goes, really? Maybe it's your wife's. And she points at me. And everyone always assumes stuff like that. Like they'll assume you're married, or they'll assume that if you're walking with your brother, like he's your husband, just because I guess that's like a stereotype. Yeah, that's a stereotype they attach to like women who wear hijab, is that they're like from a foreign country and they've been married super young. And it just makes for really awkward situations.
Yeah. And then once we were at Hobby Lobby and like it was all of us and it was just us girls. And then this lady, she comes and she gives us pamphlets and stuff. And then she goes, how come you guys are out like without your husbands, or your husbands? And we're like, which husbands? Like, we don't have any. She goes, so why are you wearing the scarf if you don't have a husband? You know, like you're supposed to wear it if you're married. And I was like, honey, you've got it all wrong. First of all, we're not married. Second of all, you can wear it even if you're not married. Like, it's fine. But she was just so confused and she was so concerned too.
Yeah. And people will always assume too that like you're from some different country so that you don't speak English well either. Like, I remember when I got my driver's license and I went to the DMV, I went up to the counter and the lady was like, hello, how are you? And she's like nodding her head at me, speaking really slowly. And I was like, what is wrong with this woman? And then I realized that she thought I was like foreign or something, and I was coming to like work on my papers or something like that. And it was just so awkward.
It's not even awkward. It's kind of offensive, because like this one time I was going to take my driving test, and you know, I've spent a while with this lady because like she was my instructor and everything. And then, you know, it was my last lesson, and she was like, okay, for your test, bring your like, she told me a bunch of things to bring. And then she was like, and bring your papers. And I was like, what papers? She was like, bring your green card papers. I was like, what green card papers? She was like, just so we know that you're a resident here. I was like, honey, I was literally born here. Like, you know, everything was fine with her. And then she said that, and I was like, that's not nice, okay? But then she passed me when I went to take my driving test, and I should not have passed. I literally didn't know how to back up in a line. I didn't know how to parallel park. I didn't know how to do the 3-point thing. So it's all good. But still, I just feel like she shouldn't have asked that.
Yeah. And so many people, when they assume that we're not from here, like we live in kind of like a small to medium-ish size like city. Mm-hmm. And so it really hasn't begun to have a lot of people that move to where we live until like the past, I don't know, maybe like 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was a lot smaller when we were younger. So it's honestly not that like common for a lot of older people that live in our city to have been born and raised here. So when people assume that, I'm like, I've been living here probably longer than most of the adults in this room, because a lot of people just like move here for work or for like some of the bigger companies that are here. Okay. And lastly, Muslim everyday struggle number 7 is bathroom struggles.
I feel like this one's the most important one.
Yeah, definitely. So this one time, Rand and I and my sister were going to this like leadership conference for this youth group for Muslims that we're part of. And there was a group chat made before, and I kid you not, there was like an entire multiple hour conversation with hundreds of messages just about how people were preparing to be like in a bathroom in a hotel.
Yeah. And then, like, every time you go to a Muslim convention or anywhere there's Muslim, you walk into the bathroom. Like, it'll be at a hotel, you know? And there's water bottles everywhere. And I'm like, take your water bottle, use it, throw it away.
Literally, if you guys have ever been to, like, the Mass ICNA conventions where there's, like, thousands of people and this, like, big convention center or this big hotel, that's literally what all the public restrooms, like, on the main floors of the hotel.
Like, everything. Everywhere there's water bottles. And have you guys seen those memes where they're like, you know, your American friend will go to your bathroom. They're like, oh, wow. Like, I really like how they have this in here so we can hydrate afterwards. And like, people do not use it for hydration. It's so That's so nasty.
It's disgusting. And it's definitely a hashtag everyday Muslim struggle. That's all we have for you guys today. We hope you enjoyed this episode about everyday Muslim struggles.
And if you're related to any of this, please let us know. There are definitely a ton more Muslim struggles too, so let us know what other everyday Muslim struggles you've faced.
Remember to follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share this episode with your friends and family. Subscribe to our podcast so you can get updated every time we drop a new episode, and give us any feedback by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform that you guys listen to us on.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.